Welcome to Thinks Out Loud, internet marketing expertise your business needs. I'm Tim Peter. Well, hello again, everybody. Welcome back to Thinks Out Loud, your source for all the internet marketing expertise your business needs. My name is Tim Peter. Today is Wednesday, April 2nd, 2014. This is the 68th episode of Thinks Out Loud. So thank you so much for tuning in again and again and again, week after week. It is always a pleasure having you here. I am, as ever, thrilled to be here and thrilled that you chose to join us once again. There is just a ton to talk about this week. Lot of interesting stories and interesting stories that point to a longer-term set of trends that I think it's important to talk about a little bit today. I want to start with eMarketer has some new research that shows that Facebook is the number one channel, is the number one site for social commerce. Now, there are some others that do some cool things, some others that are kind of important and worth knowing about, but Facebook far and away leads when it comes to social commerce, which makes sense because Facebook has this huge audience, well over a billion people, well over a billion people on mobile now using Facebook. And clearly, it has what's called network effect. If you're not familiar with network effect, that's the feature of products or services that gain more value the more people use them. Right? One of the reasons that so many people use Facebook is because so many people use Facebook. Your friends and your family are all on Facebook. So you need to be on Facebook if you want to stay in touch with your friends and family. Now, it doesn't mean that it will always be dominant. There's new data out today that, or out yesterday rather, that talks about the fact that Google Plus is now as big as Twitter in terms of its membership and its active membership. So you can challenge network effect. It's just hard, right? Nobody's using Google Plus in a big way. I shouldn't say nobody, but Google Plus has struggled because it doesn't have that critical mass of people. You don't have to use Google Plus because no one you know uses Google Plus. And when people you know use Google Plus, then you have all the more reason to do that. And that's what makes Facebook so valuable and why it's working so well for social commerce. And what's interesting about social commerce, and I've said this many times before, but social is people. Social is about individuals and your friends and your family, as well as your fans and your followers. And as brands, we have to remember that you have to treat people like people. It's important to remember that you're talking to a person as another human being and not as some target, some just faceless, you know, body that you're hoping to capture or target. Yes, you want them to buy. Yes, you want them to engage. Yes, you want them to gain a deeper relationship with your brand. But in social, when your friends and fans and family and friends are there to connect, they're there to connect with other people, not necessarily businesses. So if you just treat them like you would any broadcast media, that's not necessarily going to help you any, right? To that end, you know, the FTC has just released a statement, this is on Marketing Land, that said brand-incentivized pins on Pinterest are potentially deceptive and require disclosure. You need to tell people if this is advertising or if this is something that happens organically, which just underscores how important it is to get people to engage with you organically, because then their fans and followers and friends and family will see that as a more authentic, more trustworthy source of information and engage with it at a deeper level. Now, why this is important and why I'm spending so much time talking about it today is that we have this weird dichotomy in social between what's public and what's private. between what people want to discover or want to be able to discover versus what people want to, you know, hide away and what they want to keep private. You know, the Next Web has a piece that talks about how Bing is expanding its feature to surface doctors and dentists and lawyers and real estate agents and real estate listings, because these are local small businesses who probably don't know a lot about search engine optimization, who probably don't know a lot about how to get to the top of the rankings. And Bing is saying, this is information that should be public, so we're going to use techniques to try to make it more public, make it work better, both for the business as well as for the consumer, the customer who's trying to find a doctor or a lawyer or a dentist or a real estate listing because they're looking to move their house, right? So that's a good thing. But not everything should be public. And I don't know if you're familiar with apps like Whisper or Secret, but these are apps that actually specifically focus on retaining anonymity for the individual who's putting information up on them. Because your customers want to have a certain amount of anonymity for certain things. Jeff Jarvis, in his book, Public Parts, makes this core distinction between the public and a public, right? The public is the whole world. Anybody can see it. This information is for the public. But in the old world, offline and places like that, there is this idea of publics, right? If you're down at your local, you know, watering hole, your favorite hangout, your favorite coffee shop, and there's a regular group of people with whom you interact, they are a public. So you can tell them things because you know it's not going to go that far. You know they're not going to share it with people who aren't part of that group. They're not part of that context. And so they're a public, but they're not the public. And what many social networks don't do a good job of, according to Jarvis, and I agree with him, is making a distinction between the public and a public. And all the different publics that you interact with ultimately become your social network, regardless of whether you connect with them on Facebook or Google Plus or Twitter or LinkedIn or Secret or Whisper. Those are all just part of your overall set of publics that you're going to talk to. And I think that's a really core distinction. And as brand marketers, as marketers generally, it's worth remembering when you're engaging with people, are you talking to the public or are you trying to interact with a segment in a public? Because the way you're going to do that is going to be very different. There's this whole move now that people are going to want more anonymity in certain cases. If you want to read something that'll just blow your hair back, this is, you know, a little off topic for what I normally talk about, but Ars Technica has an interesting piece that shows how much information people can collect. And obviously, as marketers, we want to collect lots of this information when it's appropriate to, so that we can more effectively target our customers and present to them information and offers that are going to be relevant to them. I fully endorse that. I think we should do that. I think we should do that with an eye to what is intended to be public and how do we maintain as much anonymity for our customers as is absolutely possible. People ought to be completely anonymous. They ought to have full control of their personally identifiable information and their private information. You know, if you think about things like Google Analytics, it disallows your ability to collect anything that would personally identify somebody because they're trying to retain the anonymity for that individual, as well they should. You don't want to be in the business of hosting lots of privately identifiable or personally identifiable information because that's private. That belongs to your customers, and you should let that belong to your customers. You don't want to find yourself in a position where, you know, you get hacked or some, you know, malicious group breaks into your information and learns all kinds of stuff about your customers that they never intended for the public. That's unfair to your customer, and it doesn't really look out for their best interests. So I mean that very seriously, and especially with the growth of mobile. I mean, I've talked all about how, you know, mobile is going to make e-commerce more frictionless. It's also going to facilitate a lot of collection of data, some of which you have to look at. Should I continue to hold this, or should I not? Because that's not information that belongs to me. That belongs to my customers. Millennials, as we talked about a couple weeks ago in our Internet Marketing to Millennials, Gen X, and Boomers 2 episode, episode 65, clearly are willing to share lots of information. You should look at it in terms of, great, they're willing to share it, but should I continue to hold it? Is it always in my best interest and in my customer's best interest for me to hold that information? You know, I did a post a few weeks ago talking about the 7 fastest ways to improve your e-commerce effectiveness. And all of them come back to knowing your customer really well, knowing about your customer, and paying attention to your customer. However, I hope nobody takes that information, either here or in that post, to mean that means you should know everything about them and hold it forever and not put your customer first. Because the first thing you should do for your customer is look out for their best interests. When you do a good job of that, they'll want to shop with you and they'll want to be your friend on social, regardless of whether it's Facebook, regardless of whether it's Facebook or Google Plus or LinkedIn or Twitter. They'll want to engage with you in a deeper, more meaningful way because you treat them like people. You treat your customers like human beings, and you look out for their best interests. And the companies that do a great job of that are the ones who ultimately succeed in this world where some things are public and some things are private. And if you're going to err on the side of private. Your customer probably doesn't want some information out there. You know, I've talked about it before as the creepy factor. You know, would you want information about your kids to be held by a brand or a business? Would you want information about your mom and dad to be held by a brand or a business? And if your answer is, well, no, I'm not so sure I would, or that makes me a little uncomfortable, then maybe you should think the same thing about your customers too. Because those companies that do that well are the ones who customers will want to engage with socially and will want to be friends with for a long time to come. Well, looking at the clock on the wall, we are about out of time, so I'm going to go ahead and wrap up for this week. As ever, I want to thank you again for tuning in. It is always a pleasure having you here. I want to remind you that you can subscribe to the podcast by going to timpeter.com/podcast and clicking on the subscribe link in any of the episodes you find there. Or you can find us on iTunes or Stitcher or any of your favorite podcatchers by doing a search for Tim Peter Thinks, Tim Peter Thinks Out Loud, or just plain old Thinks Out Loud. And I want to remind you that you can email me at podcast@timpeter.com. Again, that is podcast@timpeter.com. And go ahead and send me any comments or questions or thoughts or concerns or anything that you might have on top of your mind about this or any of the topics we talk about with regard to digital marketing and e-commerce. I do so look forward to hearing from you. I love the fact that you tune in every single week. It is always great to have you here. And I hope you have a fantastic rest of the week, a wonderful weekend, and we'll look forward to seeing you right back here on Thinks Out Loud next week. Take care, everybody.